Mike's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Football Friday on WGR brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. I'd be a little more game day ready if not for that weather delay last night. It took a lot out of me, that weather delay. I felt like I had to, I was already pot committed for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was going to be late. And I really didn't even want to turn it off because I might miss the resumption of the game. Like, I didn't even want to sort of watch an Office episode or anything like that.
Sure.
And so I sat there through all the talking, DoorDash, which can be regrettable at 11:30.
Yes, almost always. Yes.
Almost always
regrettable.
And then I didn't see another point.
I feel like I won. Because I was determined to stay up and stay up I mean stay downstairs. I ended up last year watching a lot of these night games, the back end of the third quarter and the fourth quarter in bed, but I stayed awake and watched them. Last night I was like, I'm just gonna stay down here. It's the first game of the year, and you know, I can sleep in tomorrow. I got no obligations, you know. I like to get up and exercise, but whatever, I can manage. And then the delay happens. I'm like, all right, I'm going upstairs. And in the couple of minutes that it took me to just sort of get everything together, let the dog out, get him his nightly treat and everything.
Nightly treat.
Yeah, he gets a little biscuit at the end of the last time out of the house at night, he gets a biscuit.
All right.
Very routine. He very much looks forward to it. He goes to a spot in the kitchen waiting for me to go get the bag of treats and whatever.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so whatever that took, 5 minutes, 8 minutes. I get upstairs and didn't go to the game right away. I looked at Twitter, and they'd already said the game was expected to resume around 11:30. This is maybe 10 to 11 or so.
Yep.
And I went, I'm out. I am not going to sit here for 40 minutes scrolling and doing Lord knows what, putting parlays together for the weekend. I'm just going to go to bed. And I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and really wanted to know, like, what I had parlays on the game. I wasn't super optimistic, but whatever. Wanted to see what happened.
You already had two Javonte Williams in your pocket.
I had that. And I had a Barkley touchdown, and I needed another, and I needed a Cowboy win.
Mm.
And so, you know, 4:30 in the morning, all right, what happened?
It was live.
And yeah, I was alive, but it didn't keep me awake. I'm going to sleep. Didn't even give it another thought. And when I looked at my ESPN app, the score, I'm like, 24-20? That was the score when it got delayed.
Did they resume the game?
Yeah, I'm thinking, is this a controversial, did they just call it and they couldn't continue it? I've never seen that happen in the NFL. I don't know what would happen. But yeah, it turns out they did finish the game, just nothing, no points were scored. So I don't really know I looked at the drives, and I guess there's a CeeDee Lamb drop that hurt.
There were three in the game.
Okay.
One was earlier, but there were a couple of – yeah. I mean, Prescott was incredible in this game.
He had a great game.
The stats don't do him justice at all. And Lamb got over 100 yards anyway.
Yeah.
But he could have had 200 if he just caught the ball, and that didn't happen.
So I got paid off, I feel like, going to sleep.
I guess. You're in the lead.
I got rested.
I mean, for a game to be 24-20 – that early. I mean, it was 21-20 at half. The total for this game was like 46. And it was 41 points at half. I saw from Joe and Sam this morning, like, it is very unusual for a game with that kind of first half to not get to the over. That might be the second one ever or something since they've been tracking it that didn't get to 47 points from a 41-point first
half. Yeah, when I made the decision to not watch it anymore, I thought there could be four more touchdowns in this game before it's over. The way the first half had gone, and it was – Was it about midway through the third quarter when they hit the delay? I don't remember
how
late it was.
Yeah, like 5 minutes left in the third.
Okay. So there could still be fireworks here, but, again, 40 minutes, I'm not waiting.
No.
But I was really stunned to see 24-20 when I woke up.
I mean, Dallas had a look at it. They don't win. That's how it starts the 2025 season. Before we get too far into the season, second game tonight, Bills and Ravens Sunday. Would you be up for a final preseason edition of the reverse AFC power rankings? We've done one in like a month, and I feel like I've let people down. Most notably the people at Empire Electric, who pay to be mentioned when we ever do the power rankings, and we've not done them very often. Let's see how things look going into the season. Last night's game won't matter, as it was NFC teams. It's time now for the reverse AFC power rankings powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Okay. How are these teams going to stack up here on the cusp of the season? Kansas City and the LA Chargers tonight. I still want to say San Diego. 16.
I'm going to say Cleveland.
I will too. Cleveland.
What a smooth start.
I'm taking Cincinnati in Survivor.
Okay, well, there you go.
Somehow I woke up today and I have 8 Survivor entries.
Oh, my gosh.
But I think Cincinnati is my favorite because everybody knows now how slowly they start. I think in the last 6 years, they're 1-11 in their first 2 games. All Zach Taylor. So they played their guys in the preseason this year. I feel like that's baked into the analysis of this game. And, I mean, it's Flacco and not Shedeur Sanders at quarterback for the Browns, like a little bit more credibility. But I feel like Cincinnati, off of the last two frustrating years where their defense just did not hold up, especially last year, I want to think they'll be ready to go Sunday. But they went to Cleveland a couple years ago, and they had like 2 yards for the game. I mean, it was a disaster. So I'm on board. It's top of mind for me right now. The Browns are bad.
I'm really interested. I mean, I don't need to go long on the Bengals here because they're not the team selected here. It's their opponent in week one. I'm just really curious to see one of the most consistently talked about units in the league has been the Bengal defense, and it's almost universal. They are going to be terrible. Who's playing Jeremy Kahn early this week? Like, who even are these guys? And I'm just really interested to see if it is really that bad. You know, it's the NFL. Like, I just feel
it's
like
defense.
Something could just tip that on its head, and I don't think they'll be great. I don't think everyone will be that wrong. I'm not even excluding myself here. I mean, I'm a part of that. When we talk about the Bengals, you sort of bake in the, well, can they stop anyone? But I don't know. If they could be middle of the pack, to me, they could really give the Ravens a run for the money in the division. And I don't know. I wouldn't bet against them being in the middle of the pack.
You've got Hendrickson in, Shamar Stewart. You know, there's peace right now with the Bengals.
Yeah.
Maybe there's enough talent to not do them in.
But anyway, Cleveland is in tough, I think.
Cleveland, they'll get Judkins, it sounds like, but not for this game, it would seem. And so what when they do, maybe? Unless he's just so good. Rookie running back out of Ohio State. 15.
I'll go Tennessee here. I just don't think that there's enough there
Jets.
For Cam Ward to, okay, let me stand down and get out of the way
Stop
talking about the Titans. No, I love it. When you ding the Jets.
Never happens.
That just feels really good.
I want to hear your Cam Ward take.
Well, I'll get there when Tennessee actually gets selected. I don't know. Zach can split the tie here. I did say Tennessee.
I kind of want to go Tennessee here. I like Ward and pretty much nothing else there.
Right. That's where I'm at. I just don't think there's enough help. And however good he may end up being, I think it's going to be really hard for him to demonstrate a lot of that in year one. I just don't think that there's much there. So, all right, Tennessee.
14.
Now I'm cool with the Jets.
I'll go Jets, yeah. I'm already thinking about Aaron Glenn for next week, for when you make your weekly trip into, hey, Bulldog, tell me how much you hate Aaron Glenn. I'm working over here. I don't know how much. I haven't gotten much traction yet.
What would happen this week for you to hate him? Maybe if he's like a lunatic on the sideline. That tends to be a turnoff to fans of other teams.
See, the problem with working myself into a I hate Aaron Glenn spot is going to be that his introduction really to the NFL was how he handled Aaron Rodgers this offseason.
You like that.
And I mean, of course, you know, some of you were out there following his career as a coordinator and whatever. As a head coach, he shows up in New York and he treated Aaron Rodgers the way I think Aaron Rodgers deserved to be treated. So I like that, but I'm going to have to put that over on a shelf. And so it's some, but I'm Googling Aaron Glenn, just so you know, trying to find some stuff.
All right. There's always something.
Sure, right.
I have a lot of Justin Fields in fantasy. I hope I can suck out on that by his running. That was the thesis of the play. If he's improved as a passer, and somehow the Jets, by basically just having Garrett Wilson and Mason Taylor, a rookie tight end, I guess, as like bona fide weapons, if Taylor even is one, it's a kind of a long shot. And likewise with the Browns play and the Bengals, I'm with Pittsburgh right now in that game at the Jets on Sunday, thinking that that's a serious defense. It's been a serious franchise, and the Jets are a completely unserious franchise. No matter how serious Glenn is. So, yeah, I mean, what's the betting market going to look like when you look at these teams ranked by win total? The Jets are near the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you can like Glenn and be optimistic for him and them now changing a lot about the Jets, but there's always the ownership thing and, like, you know, remember how it felt here when we'd be talking about the Bills for days on end and the dysfunction and Buddy Nix and Marv and whatever, and somebody would call, guys, it's the owner. And be like, yeah, we know. I think the Jets are kind of in that spot. You know, it's hard, I think, to be employed and try to be credible when you, whether it's actually true or not, the impression is out there that, like, Woody Johnson's teenage kids might help him make decisions. And that's not a place you want to be.
Mm. What if they were a little older? Still
a problem.
Jerry's kids are older than
right
me. And look
right
at them.
Jerry's son, Steven, is probably my age.
Yeah. Might be. 13.
Indianapolis.
I think that's a good pick here.
Okay. I was going elsewhere, but okay. 12.
Tell me about this elsewhere.
New England.
You were visiting. Okay.
New England. All my picks here are recency bias picks. Sam's going to come on in 15 minutes and tell us how the Patriots are going to lose to Vegas and how overrated they are. Like, I'm listening to him. It's fresh in my mind. And okay, well, maybe we've gone a little bit too far.
Yeah.
Maybe I've gone a little bit too far hyping a Patriots team that won what last year? 4 games.
I started thinking of I think I'm picking the Raiders in the picks later. I think I have them in a parlay. I got to check to make sure. Yeah, I don't know, a month or two ago, looking at New England's schedule, talking about all these winnable games and the Raiders, the opener being one of them. I was thinking today as I was, you know, getting ready for the show, yeah, like, how many good players do they have, right? They're playing the Raiders, and that's Geno Smith. You got Max Crosby, and I don't know. I'm not ready to – Genty, obviously, in the backfield. I'm not ready to go long on how much the Raiders have, but I just – the list for New England is really short, and maybe their best guy outside of May isn't even going to play in this game, and that's the corner, Gonzalez. So I just don't think they've got a lot of players yet.
Diggs. We'll
right.
See what he is. All right, so New England –
sure.
11. Vegas?
Yeah, right. Can I just
you got to mention Bowers on that list.
Thank you, Bowers. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Right.
Third in the league in catches. Hopefully is a massive investor in Brock Bowers shares in fantasy this year. They don't make him into more of a blocker. Like Chip Kelly, some sort of dream about Genty and Pete Carroll running the ball all the time, and they rein in Bowers. I hope not. There is that possibility, I think, as good as he is. They've said some of the things you want to hear about Bowers, like how talented he is, but I don't know. I could see them running two tight ends a lot and, you know, trying to keep games close, which scares me a little bit for him.
How good a blocker is the other guy? The guy
Michael Mayer?
They drafted the year before.
The guy who was supposed to be the first tight end picked the year before when Kincaid was?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
Probably pretty good.
All right.
Because he doesn't really catch much yet. I mean, probably pretty good.
Right.
10.
Miami.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Wow. All right. I think I like Jacksonville a lot more than Miami. Although they'll probably be the next team, I would say, if you guys would have agreed with Miami here, but still. You know, the margins can be very slim.
Oh, they can.
I didn't know what to do with... I thought about that Carolina-Jacksonville game a couple different times. And I just there's so much new. You know, I just don't... I just didn't know what to... Mostly Jacksonville. New head coach, new offense. Like, I'm just really intrigued what that's going to look like. But Carolina showed really... You know, Bryce Young showed a lot of growth last year. So they might be... A lot better than they've been.
They might. 9. Dolphins.
Yes. I'll stay on the Dolphins.
8. Chargers.
Ooh, I was going to say Pittsburgh.
I'm good with Chargers here. I think that Rashawn Slater injury is really going to affect them.
And now Becton is questionable with an illness for tonight. That's not long term, you would think, but...
Tonight.
Has there been any talk about what... I saw footage of the practice field that the Chiefs were going to use that looked just like, I don't know, like an empty lot in Pendleton or something. But is there any word on the... Wasn't the field kind of a thing last year when they played this game?
Yes. Jordan Love got hurt.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about... maybe that's because they haven't played the game yet. Tonight, I have a feeling... Well, I shouldn't say that because the pregame show probably will barely address it because it's, you know, an NFL production. So they, but I wonder. I'm curious to see what social media... like still shots of guys, you know, feet on the turf and like balls of dirt clumping up.
I'm going to text my friend Pete Overzet, who's on the pregame show tonight for YouTube, and make sure he brings it up.
Okay, thank you for
when
that.
When he does his fantasy analysis. You got to wonder about this field. No, it'll be, who is it, Kurt Warner and maybe Rich Eisen? I'm not sure about that, who's in Brazil. Pete is in L.A. with Derek Carr, Tyrann Mathieu, and Brandon Marshall, which is amazing for him.
Right. I imagine Steve Mariucci will be there with Kurt Warner and Rich Eisen, if that's who that crew is.
I don't think it is, but I'm not sure. I know where to look. Just give me a minute.
All right.
7.
I'm going to say Pittsburgh. Yeah.
They lucked out here. 6.
Houston.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
5. Houston.
Okay.
4. Denver.
Sure.
Denver is always 4. For at least 2 months, Denver has been exactly 4. That's maybe the longest streak in the history of reverse AFC power
rankings. By that result here, all these months, that feels like they are the team closest to toppling someone out of the top 3.
Yes. Or bottomling, in our case.
Thanks, Bulldog, for explaining how rankings
our numbers work.
We appreciate your being so thorough. Listen, it's 20 hours a week.
That
I'm just trying to, you know.
Comes before 3.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can grasp that.
Indicative of them not being on the level of the 3. I'll stop.
3.
Buffalo.
I'll agree. Kind of the last time we did this, Kansas City came in 1. And I felt like it was more symbolic to me doing that than anything else. Like, the season is starting, or it wasn't even starting August 19th, but they won it. They've won the conference 5 of the last 6 years. And we're going to put them not one? I mean, that seems like a bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they have the best roster, but neither do the Bills.
They keep getting the best results. That's what really matters here. I'm all right with the Bills at 3. At least how it's starting out here. Like, it's a tough week one matchup. Not that that really pertains to the overall rankings, but what are they doing at number 2 corner? You know, just how healthy is the secondary? How ready to go are they? I'm good with them at 3.
2?
I'm going to say Chiefs.
Baltimore.
Kansas City here for me.
So much for that symbolism point.
Yeah.
Ravens at 1. Bulletin board fodder. Do you ever hear the word fodder used in any other way?
Cannon fodder.
Cannon fodder. Okay. Is there like a fodder for a cannon? Is that a physical thing, fodder?
No. What cannon fodder is the people that are sacrificed.
Dark turn.
Here come the cannon. Like, someone's got to do it.
The front line.
Right.
That's cannon
that's
fodder.
What cannon fodder is. Yes. Oof,
that took a dark turn. So,
I mean, sorry. I just want to be accurate. I didn't want to pretend like I didn't know what it meant. At least that's what I believe it to mean, and I think I'm right. I'm pretty sure I'm right. But I think those are the only two. I don't.
Mutter and fodder.
Cannon fodder. Bulletin board fodder. I don't know that I've heard any other use of fodder in my life.
Got to be mutter and fodder. If it were match game, that'd be the $100 answer. Mutter and fodder. $250 would be bulletin board. I think cannon probably is number 1. Blank fodder.
Father was a mutter.
Yeah.
Mutter was a... Yeah, I'll stop.
Reverse AFC power rankings. There it is. Final time before the season starts. Powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Sam Panayotovic from Bet Sweats. Next, we'll talk week 1, Bills, Ravens, and whatever else comes up. Matt Schauff today for your fantasy lineups from Draft Sharks. Matt is one of the sharpest guys I have met through fantasy football out of Rochester, and he even knows his defensive guys because Matt plays in more than anyone else I think I know in leagues with defensive players. So should be at least one question when you have Matt on about IDPs. Sal Capaccio as well on this Football Friday. Sam Panayotovic coming up first. It's time for a break. And Bulldog, being that it is Football Friday, our breaks, you know, we put it this way. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
I am taking the Buffalo Bills out of the AFC. It is time. It is time. Josh Allen finally breaks through, and Josh Allen seizes that crown from the Chiefs. In the NFC, it is the Eagles. And my Super Bowl champion for Super Bowl 60, for the first time in this franchise's history, the Buffalo Bills are winning Super Bowl 60 out in Santa Clara.
Wow!
Unbelievable!
Oh. Should I stop? I'll stop.
At least you have the luxury of stopping if that's what you choose to do.
Woo!
Has anything ever been said on a shouty show that was just like, okay?
It can't be. It's not allowed. It's against the rules.
You think the Bills were 3-14?
Right. Nate Peterman was their quarterback or something.
I am taking the Tennessee Titans.
Whoa!
What? Sorry, what? Well, that's Peter Schrager, and he is not alone, of course, in picking the Bills to win the Super Bowl. In fact,
Sam, when you did this,
Sam Panayotovic,
when you picked the Bills, did Joe like scream in the background like, I can't believe it, oh my God? I mean, you know, we're in the entertainment business. I understand if it has to happen. I mean, I just, you know.
Sam?
I'd like to formally thank Peter Schrager for listening to Bet Sweats, first of all, because he ripped that right from me. That's almost verbatim. So thank you, Peter. I'm glad to hear you're a big fan. Joe is pretty even keel about it. I mean, he understands that Baltimore and Buffalo have the most talent. I think Joe's opposition and my opposition for the last 6 years, can you beat Mahomes? Nobody's done it yet, but we kind of keep pushing our chips in. Anybody right. betting against Kansas City?
Sam Paniadovich, Bet Sweats, weekday mornings 9 to noon on the Odyssey app and on the Bet 1520. Well, we'll get back to the Bills, but I just wanted to mention here at the top that I think we're going to get news on Christian McCaffrey in the next few minutes. McCaffrey is Sam's Offensive Player of the Year pick. Also completely reasonable. No screaming is warranted when it comes to that. So that's a fine pick. But last night we got it. McCaffrey popped up on the injury report with a calf injury of some degree, and we don't know exactly what that is yet. But, you know, last year's pretty fresh in my mind, Sam, and he missed 10 games kind of out of nowhere right before week one. So for your pick, for fantasy players everywhere that have McCaffrey, fingers are crossed.
That's me. My fingers are crossed. My toes are crossed, too. I didn't expect this. I was actually on a train back from New York City with very bad Wi-Fi last night. And halfway through this four-hour train, New York to Boston, my phone starts blowing up. Because you get all the messages at once. And it's like basically everybody I've told about Christian McCaffrey like texting me at the same time like, dude, what the hell? Like, it's my fault that he got hurt. But, I mean, this is the risk you run. This is also why the number was 25-1. Now, there was a video, because you know I'm like forever online and like I'm doing eight things at all times. There was a video of a reporter asking George Kittle about McCaffrey yesterday. And Kittle's saying, oh, yeah, I can't wait to get him out there. Like, you know, we've been waiting all offseason for this. Like, we're ready to go. And then you got people breaking down that video and saying Kittle's lying from the body language. So, like, nobody knows if he's going to play. I'm hopeful, but I'm also, like, ready to get the bad news as well. So if you have it, I'm more than willing to be reactionary as it allows.
I'll let you know.
I promise to scream a lot.
No matter what it is. How much does he matter to the 49ers, Sam, which is a sort of a micro way of asking you how important you think running backs are, an ongoing debate always in football. I mean, last night, I think when I'm watching Miles Sanders get run down by Zach Bond, I'm thinking, well, running backs might have mattered a little bit on this play, which, you know, that probably should have been a touchdown. He fumbled later, but does it doom the Niners if McCaffrey is out for, you know, a significant length of time?
So this is a polarizing debate. If you ask an odds maker how much Christian McCaffrey's worth, he would probably say about 2.5 points. That kind of feels a little high, though. I mean, they also said Micah Parsons was worth 2.5 points, and the Cowboys were right there against Philly. So I don't really know the true numerical value. What I can tell you is Christian McCaffrey has the ability to, as you know, Mike and Bulldog, like, he could get 150 yards and two touchdowns when he's in tip-top shape. Like, a lot of guys can't do that. But I wouldn't be surprised if San Francisco ran the ball with Brian Robinson. I mean, they were happy to get him. They were happy to kind of put some depth behind McCaffrey. I think when you look back, that move actually makes a lot of sense. Like, it was probably an insurance move at the time. It's not like they're going to get controlled at the line. They still have a good line. They're going to be able to run. But I don't think Brian Robinson can do what Christian McCaffrey does, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I felt like last year, at least to start when McCaffrey was out, Jordan Mason stepped in, and I didn't feel like that was the thing that sunk San Francisco's offense last year. Like, it was the accumulation of everything else that really got him. But
Ayuk.
Yeah, right. I don't have to be correct about that, but I felt like Mason was, you know, decent in a fill-in role.
Me
anyway,
too.
So
I agree. Now he's in
was a problem too. Their O-line was a big problem coming into last year, and they just thought they had the talent to, like, outlast that, but then all the talent got hurt. So you have a bad line and no talent, and then Brock Purdy doesn't know what to do with the ball, and he's running for his life. So the hope there is the O-line's better, which would allow them to do whatever they want. But also, like, I hope they're not stupid. I hope they don't rush McCaffrey to play, because they don't need McCaffrey in week one. They need McCaffrey hopefully near a playoff push. Like, if he can't play, don't even push it. Don't even risk it.
By the way, Quickly and lastly on the Niners and their game against the Seahawks, I was watching you and Joe Ostrowski this morning talk about it, and you made the observation that the total has come down in that game, I believe, and you made a point about how it sort of the markets are reflecting that defense is the winner in this game. I think that screams Seattle. Sorry for another screaming reference. I feel like I've heard maybe more about any unit in the league this preseason about the Seahawks defense and how it might have a chance to be like top five or top three. So maybe people know that McCaffrey is pretty seriously hurt and they love the Seattle defense. So I think I'd be on Seattle here.
It makes sense. I didn't lay 2.5. So I was never going to lay 2.5 on the road. These divisional games are always really interesting week one. I can tell you, like, the best NFL bettor that I know, he's about 60% most years. You would never know him. You couldn't pick him out of a lineup. But he picks this league like no other. And here are the picks he's got. Seahawks, he had Cowboys last night, +8. Browns, +6. Giants, +6. And then he likes the Vikings. He bet him as a dog. But it's mostly divisional dogs week one. And that's all this guy does in week one. And then he makes his adjustments. But he will never not bet a divisional dog in week one. It's his favorite thing. And when he taught me that a couple of years ago, I try and stay away from him because that guy knows more than I could forget. Or he's forgotten more than I could ever know about betting the NFL.
You'd rather avoid those games than just tail them?
Yeah, because I really don't want to bet on Sam Darnold. It's a personal choice.
Yeah, no, right. Sometimes the smartest guy you know is like, do this. And you're like, how about I just don't touch it? Because I can't.
Exactly. Now you know. That's my life, Mike.
I'm just going to stay away.
Before we get too far into Sunday and Bills, Ravens, and even college games tonight and tomorrow, Sam, did we learn anything last night? I mean, the Eagles losing that dude on the first, before a play even happened, it was a very big deal. I mean, it's the best player on their defense. I think there's not much question about that. They've got a lot of good players, but he's the best. And he's out. Dak, we already talked a little earlier today, Sam, even though we've only been on for a little bit here. We thought Dak looked great. I don't know. What did you take away from last night?
I don't know that Philadelphia's secondary is anywhere near as good as it was last year. I came prepared with a question of the day that I kind of wanted to volley at you guys in a second, if we have time. Oh, yeah. It involves this game. But when Jalen Carter goes out, like, that changed the entire game plan for Dallas. And if he's not out there, it's going to be easy for teams to run the ball. Dallas ran it, you know, pretty nicely. 120 yards, 5.4 yards per rush. That's a lot, but that happened because Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott. You know, like, it's a wild turn of events. So I don't know that Dallas challenged Philly maybe as much as it should have. CeeDee Lamb dropped 2 or 3 home run balls. I mean, this game could have been out of reach if CeeDee Lamb could catch the ball. So I don't know that we learned a lot. I mean, Philly's very good, very talented. They're going to be tough to stop with Hurts and Barkley in the backfield. But, man, like, their secondary lost a lot, and they've got some injuries at corner. Like, Quinyon Mitchell's awesome. Cooper DeJean was getting burned all over the field, but the Cowboys couldn't catch the ball.
Right. Sam Paniadovich, our guest here on the West Her Hotline. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog on WGR. All right, Sam. Well, Bills-Ravens, the line eventually, or it's not over yet, but shifted a couple of points toward Baltimore to make the Ravens about a 1-point underdog here Sunday night. How do you see it?
I think the more compelling move is the total coming down almost 2 points, because everything we talk about and everything we see on most shows is about the MVP quarterbacks and the offenses and how elite they are. And yet the total is coming down from 52.5 to now 50.5. And the 51 is very important, guys. I mean, that's 31-20, 27-24. It's a very key number for totals, and they've blown right through it. Now, I think you're going to get some public money going into Sunday night that drives it back up. So if you miss 51, I would just wait, because you're going to get it. I like under 51, though. I mean, the market and the respected guys in the market are banking on defense. They're looking at the defensive side of the ball. The public's always going to bet overs and look at the offensive side. But the true money so far is on the under. And that's not really what people expect to hear when you talk about Buffalo and Baltimore.
I wonder what that is any more specifically. Like, the Bills defense might have a little bit of trouble. We saw Baltimore pretty much do what it wanted in the playoff game. The Bills have a hole at corner. And so, I mean, they have some new pieces as well. I wonder if it's maybe more an expectation here of a game where both teams run the ball really well. I mean, Cook last year, of course, Derrick Henry, even the quarterbacks, where you have 8, 9, 10 play drives that sort of bleed clock, and you end up at a game, you know, in the 20s, which is a win if you probably, if you're betting under 51, maybe.
Could be. This is also the highest total of the entire week. Mm-hmm. So last night's game was sitting 47.5 for most of the summer, and then you get to the day of the game and it's over. And what a bad beat, by the way. You had 41 points at half. You don't get over.
Right.
But it still stayed under because they only scored 3 in the second half. But that total was 48.5. This one opened, you know, 3.5 points higher. So I think there are probably some people that are thinking that's just too many points for week one. It could just be a mathematical thing. But when you see it move like that, it's definitely, when you get through that 51, like, that's worth noticing in my world.
Christian McCaffrey is in uniform and warming up on the field to start practice today in San Francisco.
Wow! So, yeah. Oh, my God! I can't believe it!
Bulldog, you're a natural.
I'm auditioning. I would like to get
clearly.
At 60 years of age, it's time for me to transition to one of the shouty shows.
Yes.
We'll see. I don't know. My big red face will probably hamper me.
Credit to Steve and Sam for coining the term. I've already used it here, too. Survivor, Sam, Steve Palazzolo, Sam Monson. Survivor here, week one. Full grown man here, likes the Raiders as a road underdog at New England, as at least a consideration, if not a downright pick for Survivor. You'll tell us. I'm going to say by this, at least a slave to the old West Coast, East Coast, you know, road game, 1 o'clock start, the body clock rule.
I'm not afraid of that at all in week one.
It's more in season where
when you start stacking
grind.
Tough travel spots, it gets worse, especially if you have to go across the country, fly all the way home, and then go back across the country. Like, if you play the Giants and then play the Eagles and you're in Arizona, like, that's not ideal. But I mean, these guys have been preparing for this game for months. I'm not concerned one bit about the schedule week one.
Okay. Why are the Raiders such a strong play for you?
Because I have them power rated higher. I heard you guys off the top kind of ranking your teams, your AFC from worst.
Thanks
first,
for listening,
which I
Sam.
Love.
We appreciate that.
Oh, I listen more than you know, buddy. Don't worry. I have Cleveland as the worst too, but just barely over Tennessee. My numbers have, and again, my numbers could be wrong, but they're my numbers. I have the Raiders 2.5 points better on a neutral, and I have home field worth like 1.6. So I think the Raiders should be basically a pick 'em, and you were giving me 3. The 3s are going away. I just think the Raiders are better. They have a veteran quarterback. They're going to be able to run the ball. And I like Max Crosby against 2 rookies on the left side. I just do. I also think the Patriots are overvalued. They won 4 games last year.
Yeah.
And now they're going to go to the playoffs because Mike Vrabel's here waving his magic wand. I just don't buy it.
Yeah, there has been a lot of hype. We've talked about that a lot.
And the left tackle is questionable, I think, right? The their first pick. Will Johnson, is that what's the kid's last name?
Campbell,
thank you. Mm. The LSU kid with the short arms. I mean, questionable. Maybe he'll play, but still, he might be not 100%.
Right. Well, started to say, like, the Patriot hype has been noticeable, if not insufferable, if you're Sam and you just sort of don't see it the same way. The schedule is easy, though. I keep coming back to that with the Patriots. I think they could be, and you haven't said exactly different, but I think they could be average and, you know, make it to December with a chance to make the playoffs. I still like them as a playoff team, whatever that is. Maybe it's only like plus 130 or something like that, or even maybe not that good.
It's been bet. I can tell you that. I mean, it's been a popular bet, the Patriots to make the playoffs. I'm checking the market right now. Best price you could get is .. plus 160. Some places are plus 130. But I can tell you this, not to sort of kind of give myself confirmation bias, but there was a group. I had John Murray on our show this week, and he said there was a professional group that bet the under on 2 teams, the Patriots and the Bears. So I think people let that number kind of like float up, the win total float up, so the math goes in their favor, and then they can take, you know, the miss the playoffs price and under at better numbers. Those are the two teams. I mean, look, they're wise. They make money. Doesn't mean they're going to go 2-0, but I think they think the market is a little too high on both Chicago and New England. And what do you know? They're both two coaches that are going to save the franchise, and that's usually baked into the number as it ever was.
Do want to ask a Bears question. Update on McCaffrey. He is off working to the side, not with his teammates as they go through pre-practice. So it's the ebbs and flows here. Now McCaffrey is in uniform but not working with his teammates. Kyle Shanahan will speak later. I was listening to you guys on the Bears today.
I didn't mean to let everyone down. I decided not to scream there. My commitment to the bit.
I'm all set if you're all set.
Okay.
Your whole team, your whole panel there, Sam, likes the Vikings Monday night in Chicago. I like your producer, Paul, by the way. He adds a nice little element to your show. Who's betting the Bears, right? Your professional group isn't. You know, Joe's in Chicago. He's not. Everything I hear about the Bears is usually negative. Here we've got Tyler Dunn, our friend today, blasting away at Caleb Williams and a big piece at Go Long TD. Who's on the Bears?
I think the public will come in on Chicago. Remember, that game is Monday night, so you're not going to really know a lot about that market with the public flavor to it. I mean, it's been kind of shaped by the wise guys, but it won't really see that public money until we get through Saturday and Sunday, because the public has to see if they have any money left to bet Monday, as you know. But Minnesota opened as the dog, and, you know, Chicago during the middle part of summer was like -2 in the game. And then you just started to see this avalanche of sharp money on Minnesota to move it from +2 to now -1, 1.5. I think Minnesota is a much better team, better defense. I like O'Connell more than Johnson because he's proven more. And I'm not too concerned about J.J. McCarthy. I heard this clip of Michael Wilbon saying he didn't win a national championship. His teammates did. And I'm like, dude, how many games did he watch of J.J. McCarthy? Probably 2, if that. J.J. McCarthy was so smooth and in control of the offense and was able to throw on the run and under pressure better than any quarterback in the country when he was a senior. He also went 27-1 at Michigan, won a national championship, and ended Nick Saban's career. I just don't understand why, like, everybody hates J.J. McCarthy. I'm sorry if I'm yelling. I just feel very good about this.
Did Kornheiser scream when Wilbon said that? Was there any sort of big reaction? I don't think that would be a scream worth. I bet you.
No,
you don't really
not,
get the
screaming.
Not there,
no.
You get the occasional, oh! Why are you so down on Illinois compared to everybody else you talk to?
I'm not necessarily down on Illinois. I just think that they have a lot of questions at the skill positions. They brought their entire offensive line back, which is great, and they brought their quarterback back, Luke Altmaier. That's awesome. But they also lost two receivers of the NFL, excuse me. And I went to Illinois, Mike.
Oh.
They don't grow Illinois receivers like that out of the ground. You know, they just don't. They come around every couple of years, and I don't know that that's going to happen this year. They also lost their best running back to Georgia. He transferred. So while we talk about all that they bring back, I look at what they lost at the talent level and the position, you know, part of the field. And I just don't know that they're going to be able to move the ball on a Manny Diaz defense. So I like Duke. I took 3 with Duke.
Illinois at Duke, is that tomorrow, probably? We're back to a normal world
Most
of these games are at Saturday.
There's like 4 or 5 games tonight and then the full slate tomorrow.
I think it's like 12 Eastern tomorrow, 12 o'clock noon.
Is there anything else you really like in college football this weekend?
So you guys are going to laugh. I laid 48 with Texas Tech. So... thought you were going to laugh there, Bulldog. They are playing.
He's exhausted.
I also have that in a parlay.
What?
I'm on Texas Tech tomorrow.
So a Vegas bookmaker told me, and I put this in my newsletter, which you can find, by the way, on Twitter for free on the top of my page. Chris Andrews has been booking bets in Vegas for 40 years. He knows his way around a number. He said Kent State's the lowest rated college team he's ever had going back decades. And they just needed a 100-yard kickoff return to beat Merrimack last week.
Oof.
That's Kent State. Not a good team. Texas Tech just cleared its quarterback number one, Baron Morton. He was questionable. Now he's going to play. So you're going to get a full half of him, then probably a full half of the 5-star backup, and Texas Tech could score 70. Like, it's a big number, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was 42-0 at half.
At SP Shoot to find Sammy's Twitter account, and that link, as he just mentioned, is right up top. All right, did you ask your question of the day?
Well, my question is very simple. We don't have enough time to debate it, but maybe you guys can. Did CeeDee Lamb have a good game? ?
No. No.
Well, if you ask a fantasy person, well, you got him 18 points.
You just did.
If you ask a better, he did good enough to cover. If you ask a Cowboy fan, they want to leave him in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, too many. I mean, three big drops. Big. Tough to say he had a good game. You know, 7 for 100, though. I'll take the 18 points, whatever it was. I'm not going to throw him back. All right, Sam, thanks for your time as always. We'll talk next week.
See you guys.
Sam Panayotovich on the Western Hotline. Bet Sweats with Sam and Joe Ostrowski weekday mornings at 9 on the Odyssey app and the Bet 1520. We'll take a timeout. Next up is Matt Schauff from Draft Sharks Fantasy Stuff. Christian McCaffrey in uniform for practice in San Francisco, but working off to the side, which is probably not great. They teased us with, Here he comes, and then, wait a minute, you know, he's over there. The next thing, next step down is the bike. Watch out for the bike.
Right.
Matt Schauff next, Football Friday on WGR.